And now I'll invite each of our rite of passage youth to come forward and share some words with you. So, Hannah.
Hi, I'm Hannah Tobias Longford. My mentor was Alyssa Kane, who's right in front. If you guys remember this book I read not too long ago about for the children's story, my thing will be referencing this. The book I read earlier to the children was read many times to me when I was young and has made a strong impact on my life. Barbara Cooney's Miss Rumphius teaches us all many life lessons that relate to UU principles, but there are five to speak to me the most. The first, most obvious one is to make the world more beautiful. To fulfill the charge her grandfather gives her, Miss Rumphius plants lupins to spread beauty. But physically making the world more beautiful is the only way Miss Rumphius could have fulfilled her grandfather's request? I think not. Making the world more beautiful can take many forms, including taking care of the earth, treating others with dignity and respect, and living a life of service to make a positive impact. Regardless of how we choose to make the world more beautiful, Miss Rumphius reminds children and adults of this important life lesson. Another lesson Miss Rumphius teaches us is that one person's trash may be another's treasure. Lupins are actually a weed that many gardeners battle with. However, Miss Rumphius sees them as beautiful and uses them to fulfill her charge from her grandfather. She uses something that others may readily want to cut away just to make the world more beautiful. She sees the lupins just as beautiful as the roses or tulips that many gardeners plant in place of the lupins they pulled. Looking for beauty everywhere is another guiding principle that will carry me forward. My third lesson is answers to large tasks can come in small sizes. At one time in our life or another, many of us are going to be charged with a lofty task, such as your generation will solve the energy crisis, or end world, or start world peace. At the moment, that task can seem daunting, but by staying true to yourself, you will find the answers, and they may be small and simple. Miss Rumphius planted lupins to make her dream house by the shore more beautiful. The fact that they spread, benefiting herself and so many others, was a happy accident, but it shows us a few things. Doing something for yourself might not just benefit yourself, it could benefit many others as well. Small acts can have big results, and you never know what you do or say that will have a lasting impact. Another lesson of this story is in the final part, where Miss Rumphius passes on the charge to the next generation. She realizes that she has fulfilled her grandfather's charge to make the world more beautiful. Her next act of beauty was becoming a mentor to children, but especially to her niece. She encourages her niece to do all the things she wants to do in her life, many of which Miss Rumphius herself has done, but also to pass on the same charge that her grandfather gives to her. Miss Rumphius tells her niece to make the world more beautiful. Each generation needs to have a goal that is bigger than themselves to strive for. The last, most important lesson, and often the most comforting, is that it's never too late to learn your purpose, understand your beliefs, and act. Miss Rumphius teaches us that it is okay not to know your purpose at a young age. I'd like to extend this to beliefs as well. Sometimes our purpose and sense of our part in the world may not become apparent until later in life, and that is okay. Thank you.
Gotta log in real quick. All right. Hi, I'm Grace Schlimbach. I'm a freshman at Shenandoah High School, and my mentor was Sheila Gray over there. I came to this congregation at the beginning of the school year, about a month after my family moved here from Northern Virginia. I've been in UU churches all my life, but I never felt truly a part of one until very recently, which is a really good thing, because if I hadn't, it would have been a lot more difficult to write this. And now for This I Believe. Which is funny, because we all listen to NPR, because we're UUs. I believe that my life would make more sense written on a page in a book than it ever will in my head. Not that I intend to write a book. I really don't have the patience for that. I enjoy writing, but when it comes to putting a story down on paper, I can only bring myself to write beginnings and endings. Beginnings are interesting because they're fresh, and endings are the severing of one thing from another to begin another. It culminates with you thinking about what you've learned and seen, but for me, nothing ever fits in the middle. And if I think too hard about that blank space, I get anxious and I have to stop thinking about it. But the middle is the most important part, as it connects beginnings and endings. Right now, I'm stuck in the middle of a lot of things. The middle of being a teenager, the middle of the last quarter in the school year, yay. The middle of making new friends, of a book, and the middle of my spiritual journey. I'm not even close to knowing what I believe, and I don't think I'll ever fully be able to put words to how I feel. I can't just write it down and have all the words fit just right. And it won't be as easy to understand as a story in a book. Nothing is ever that simple. But I can learn to process my thoughts, and I can try to express how I feel to you now. I believe that everyone is capable of being good, but they have to see it for themselves before they can use that goodness. You can't tell someone to change for the better and expect them to change. They need to want it for themselves. I believe that you can love yourself and everyone around you. It doesn't matter to me if you have a partner on one end of the gender or sexuality spectrum or on the other end, or if you don't need a partner at all. But what does matter to me is if you respect the people around you. I believe in the power of respect. If someone doesn't respect me, then I don't need them in my life. I know that that toxicity is the last thing anyone needs in their lives, so get rid of it. I believe in being able to put on makeup and some heels and then playing Mario with my guy friends. I believe in wearing a wig because I feel like having blue hair for a day. I believe that I can go on stage and be a completely different person for an hour or two, just for the fun of it. But none of those beliefs are conventionally religious beliefs, are they? I mean, sure, they're important to me, but they don't particularly address the prompt. My English teacher would expect better. Speaking of school, I can try to make this question easier to answer by relating it to biology. An if-then statement. If I am a UU, then I believe what? That didn't help as much as I thought it would. Because being a UU means that I have a great deal of liberty in choosing what I believe, if I believe anything at all. I don't have to sign up for a set doctrine. I get to fill in the blanks for myself like a crazy Mad Lib. So let's start off with an easy question. Do I believe in God? Not really. If I believe in any larger power that governs over us all, it's that of the force of an endlessly expanding universe. But that brings up another big picture question. Where did the universe come from? While I don't believe that God created the universe in 7 days, there aren't many other theories that make any more sense. I personally like the idea of the Big Bang, just an explosion of colors and light from absolute darkness. But I really have no idea where the universe came from, and although I'll imagine what happened, I doubt anyone will ever know for sure, unless they have a TARDIS and they can go back there. Here's another one. What do I believe comes after death? I actually have this one pretty well thought out. Since energy is never created nor destroyed, the energy from us must go on to another form when we die. I guess it'd be sort of like reincarnation, except only our energy gets passed on. And our consciousness just floats around space, visiting faraway stars and other worlds, like a glittering cloud that no one can see or touch. Sounds kind of like a Star Trek thing, but I like it that way. Now, before I'd finish, I'd like to thank my mentor, Miss Sheila. She's been so kind and engaging and was so helpful when I got sick during the trip to Boston, which wasn't fun. The Boston trip was fun, but getting sick wasn't. I'm much better now, and I'm so grateful for having such a fantastic mentor. I also want to thank my fellow mentees for being so welcoming and friendly. It's been awesome getting to know all of you. Like, really, it has been. A big thank you to Leah, Sam, and all of you guys in the congregation for giving me the opportunity to be an ROP and discover why I want to be a UU. And thank you to my mom and dad, who's actually on a motorcycle trip right now. He left this morning, but hi, Mom. For all their love and support, and to the rest of my family, especially my brother, because he actually leads a youth group in Virginia, and he's been very, you know, he's been wanting me to do this. So, happy Mother's Day! Last, I have just a few words from one of my favorite games, Animal Crossing. Now, this ain't the end. I will see ye again. That's how it goes whenever you're my friend. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Charlotte Hutchins. My mentor is Barb Metz, and I'm a sophomore at Greenville High School and a member of the FUSA congregation my entire life. This, of course, means I knew nothing about what being a UU meant and solely went every Sunday to see my wonderful friends I have here and because of the coffee hour bagels. Quite honestly, up until this year, I thought UUs were a little cocky because when we were little in RE, we were taught that every morally sound person, such as Abraham Lincoln, was a UU. When in reality, we just have sound principles that are easy to agree with. My personal two favorite of our seven principles are the first and last. We believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every person and respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are all a part. This year, I have learned what being a UU means, or at least what it means to me. It means that you support social justice, embrace diversity, encourage morally correct behavior, and support the huge community of youth and adult UUs. I have learned about our program of Standing on the Side of Love, an absolutely phenomenal organization that fights for equality for LGBTQ people. I have come to firsthand experience that real sense of community and love through all of the support our congregation has given us in our trip to Guatemala. I have learned about our program of Black Lives Matter, where we fight for the worth of every person. And I have come to meet other amazing UUs through cons and through our trip to Guatemala. Youth that have been, to varying degrees, shaped and affected in the same way I have. We have been taught to love and respect everyone, to stand up for what is right, even if you are in the minority, and to eat lots of bagels. However, growing up here and in the amazing family that I have, this was natural. I do not know if there's a heaven or some God up there awaiting me. However, I do know that maybe I never will, and I'm perfectly okay with that. I know that my views are ever changing and developing, and the more I see in the world, the more I discover about myself. I know that being here, I have the opportunity to change my mind 100 times and be loved all the same. I know the pride of being able to say that I am a UU. One of my favorite quotes is one I found on a poster downstairs when I was in 4th grade. My dad wrote it down on a note card, and that same note card is hanging in my room today. This is a saying that I feel has summed up a lot of what I've learned being a UU here. It goes, "He prayed. It wasn't my religion. He ate. It wasn't what I ate. He spoke. It wasn't my language. He dressed. It wasn't what I wore. He took my hand. His wasn't the color of mine. But when he laughed, it was how I laughed. And when he cried, it was how I cried." Thank you.
Hi, I'm Rose, and my mentor was Mary Myers. Okay. When I was younger, I knew everything. God didn't exist, and neither did heaven. It just wasn't logical. Jesus wasn't a hero, because I hadn't heard him be glorified in stories. And in my house, the Bible was more of a paperweight than a guide for life. I was an atheist before I could pronounce the word. I accepted other religions, yet I always tried to prove my Catholic friends wrong in discussion. I remember a conversation in particular after one of my friend's grandparents died, where I claimed there was no such thing as heaven. That was definitely not an appropriate response to her grief. But from what I knew, heaven was just a silly made-up thing, and the sooner she learned that, the better off she would be. My mind told me she was just oblivious, and if I could stop her from believing in these supernatural things, then maybe I could spare her some judgment. I didn't want my friend to be looked down upon because of her beliefs. But I mean, God? Really? Some big guy in the sky who controls us all? Everyone knows that's unreasonable. Everyone knows that, but we accept it, right? We Unitarian Universalists don't have the same beliefs as everyone else, but we accept everyone's beliefs. In fact, we welcome them. Then why? When I experienced a similar grief to my friend, did I feel ashamed for turning to God? Why did I feel guilty when I wanted to pray to him? Why did it take me until a year ago to say, screw this, I believe in God? And why is it so difficult for me to stand up in front of you, a caring congregation in which I have been raised, and say, I believe in God? To admit, I believe in heaven. I believe in the power God holds, and I believe in the free will he gave me. I'll proudly admit any day that I believe in equality for all, and I believe in choice. I believe in friendship, and as corny as it sounds, I believe in the possibility of tomorrow. I don't mind saying I'm rather liberal, or that I believe music is one of the most powerful things on earth. But for some reason, declaring my belief in God scares me. We are an accepting group of people. We welcome and support all people of any faith, gender, sexual orientation, and race, which is something not every faith can do. That has been made clear to me, that we are different from other religions in the fact that we accept all. But can it be that in our haste to separate ourselves from the negative aspects of other faiths, we have unintentionally painted them as something not to be? Have our open, welcoming doors started to inch shut while all the time we were focusing on the very thing itself, acceptance? I believe we are a revolutionary group of people whose thirst for change and action as a way to improve ourselves and the world knows no end. We, as a Unitarian Universalist Society, are prominent in countless fights of social justice, equality, peace, and so many more issues. My voice holds pride when I state, I am a Unitarian Universalist. But is it possible that our focus on the bigger picture has begun to overshadow our most basic morals? I believe in God. My practice at this church is more faith-based than based on morals. Right now, I'm working on accepting the beliefs I've ascertained from experiences I've had and what my gut has told me. I ask that you help me to accept myself. Give me a smile when I say, I believe in God, because the first place we look when searching for acceptance is in the faces of those we love.
So I can let you know that Sophia Aviles gave us an awesome statement without anybody of you, not any of you here earlier this morning. And so she was kind of surprised at her reaction to be in such a large audience. But I can tell you that she lives life fiercely and has no fear of death and has great friends and a wonderful sense of humor. So I hope that you have a chance to talk to Sophia later and get to know her.